Beloved congregation, when we think of all the things that we pray for on prayer day, what would be most important? What do you think, children, when we have a prayer day service, what is the most important thing that we're praying for? Would it be our health? Would it be a good education? Good weather for the farmers, maybe? Would it be happy marriages, happy families, happy children, successful businesses? All those things would be the same as what our non-Christian world wants. But as Christians, we are unique in what we want, what we need. Because foremost in our desires is, or ought to be, God's glory. We want to glorify our gracious Heavenly Father in our thoughts and words and deeds. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And as Christians, the Lord God has given us all of the information that we need for our faith and for our life. The Bible is God's revelation to us of His will for us. So that through faith in the Lord Jesus, we can be connected with Almighty God, and His Holy Spirit indwelling us, teaches us, and enables us to walk in obedience. And yet, He uses means to teach us. The Word of God, the sacraments are the means of grace, and the number one means is the Bible. Think with me of a young lady who is engaged to be married to a man in the army. And he gets deployed to Afghanistan or some other place like that. And he's going to be gone for a year and a half. For the next 18 months, they will be separated from each other. He promises that if possible, he will text her or call her every day to express his love. And at first, when she receives his texts or his calls, she drops everything to reply to him. But after a while, she gets tired of that same thing every day. And her replies get shorter and shorter. And finally, all he gets in reply is a one-letter text message. K. You ever send one of those? K. That's all he hears anymore. Now, on a larger scale, think of the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, your creator and my creator, writing a letter to those whom he has created, expressing in that letter his love to them, describing in great detail how he demonstrates that love, giving the historical accounts of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. Showing them how he wants them to live as his image bearers. And then think of the recipients of that letter only communicating with him once a week, if they're hungry. But for the most part, ignoring his letter to them. And the response is, K. That's what we do when we do not study the Word of God, His letter to us. When we expect Him to give us what we want the moment we mention it to Him, especially with a long list on prayer day, and we ignore when He shows us through His Word what He wants from us. That is, that we should be holy before Him, loving Him, loving our neighbor, depending on Him, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, living out of Him and living unto Him. As we begin a new season, 10 days from now is the first day of spring, by the way. That's how quickly it's going. God's aim for us is that we would be set, as it were, on two rails of a train track. And the destination of those train tracks is holiness and love and heaven. And those two rails of that train track are the rail of prayer and the rail of meditation on the Word of God. As we go about our work this coming season, and I hope we'll all be very busy and very successful this year, we need to make it our priority to be praying people and Bible studying people. Our hearts need to be receptive to the Holy Spirit's inspired Word, and our eyes need to be opened. And our ears need to be unstopped for that Word of God. Praying and meditating on the Word of God are like parallel railroad tracks by which the Holy Spirit is pleased to train us, to train our souls to stay on track, the track that leads to holiness and joy and service. Oh, how we need renewed zeal for prayer and Bible study, especially as we begin a new growing season. But whatever else we need this working season, whether it is our health or our abilities and whatever it is, we need most of all to seek the kingdom of God and to be taught by Him. This prayer day, I want to rivet our attention for a few moments on those great and precious matters in order to rekindle our passion for prayer and for the Word of God. And I want to do that with you from Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's our text. The theme is prayer and the Word of God. I want to answer four questions this evening. What is absolutely necessary, first of all? What is necessary? And then secondly, what is our natural condition? And thirdly, what is our daily need? And then fourthly, how shall we now pray? And don't worry if you're not getting them all written down right now. I will repeat them when I get to them again. Rachel, I will repeat it for you. Okay. First, what is absolutely necessary? Our text tells us that there are wonderful things in the Word of God. That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, it says, and the word law there is the Hebrew word that means instruction or teachings from the Word of God. There are wonderful things in God's teachings for us. They're so wonderful that when we really see them, they change us and empower us to holiness. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why reading and knowing and meditating on the Word of God is crucial. By meditating, I mean prayerfully thinking about a particular verse of Scripture. And as it were, chewing on that text and digesting it. From when your daily Bible reading, you choose one verse for the day and you think on that verse and you contemplate on it and you pray over it. Seeing the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, having that Word of God in us is crucial to living a life of holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12, verse 14. We read in 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, so that I might not sin against Thee. You think about that verse for a moment. Think about that now. According to this verse, how can we avoid sin in our lives? We so often mess it up, don't we? By not meditating on and memorizing and treasuring the Word of God in our hearts. If we were treasuring God's Word in our hearts, we would not so easily be comfortably indulging ourselves in sensual sins, would we? That wouldn't flow out of the same heart at the same moment. It couldn't be. Do you want to be holy? Every child of God says, oh, do I ever? Do you want power to overcome sin and live a life of godliness and self-denial and sacrificial love? And we say, yes, of course we do. Do you want that right where you are in your family? That utter devotion to the cause of the kingdom of Christ wherever He places you? Whatever your calling is in this life, then I would say to you and to me, get on track. God has ordered a way of holiness and godliness, and the way to holiness and godliness. It is the way of treasuring up Scripture in our hearts. And it doesn't matter if you're a senior or a parent, or a young child, or any other age in between. Meditate on the Word of God. Memorize Bible verses. Cherish that Word with its commands and its warnings and its gospel promises. And I know it's not easy, especially when you get a little older. Not so easy to memorize anymore when you're very young. It just sticks in there. Not when you're older. But then, most things that are really worth doing are not all that easy, are they? You think of a person who makes fine furniture, handcrafted furniture. That's not easy. Or a person who writes music, beautiful pieces of music, or plays that music, or writes a grade A paper. None of those things are easy, but they're worth doing, aren't they? A life of holiness, a godly life, is worth doing. By the time our little children are about 2 years old, they can be taught to learn Bible verses by heart. And they will be used to the prayers in the family. And people say, why do you bother taking the trouble of then all that time to repeat the Bible over and over to your children? And we tell them, it's because we want them to grow up to be godly and pure and holy and loving and virtuous and spiritually wise people. All these things we want for ourselves and for our children, for all of us. So what should we be doing this year? If we are sanctified by truth, and the Word of God is truth, what should we be doing with that Word of God? Studying it. Mining that Word of God. If a doctor tells you, you are very, very ill, and you're going to die of this illness, unless you take this particular medication, that's your only chance of becoming well and living. And then if you neglect to take that medication, for whatever reason you can think of, maybe you're too busy or you forget or the pills are too big and they don't taste good and they're too hard to swallow and you don't feel all that sick either, or you're forgetful, then you're going to stay sick and you may die. And that's how it is with sin and spiritual immaturity. If you neglect what God tells you will sanctify you and make you mature and strong spiritually, if you neglect that, then as a result you will be immature and weak. So, what is absolutely necessary for all of us this season? Reading. Studying. Meditating. Memorizing, cherishing the Word of God. That's God's appointed way of overcoming sin, of becoming strong and godly and mature and loving, wise Christians. But we need to ask at this point, what is our natural condition? And it's this. That's the second question. What is our natural condition? No one can see wonderful things from the Word of God in truth without God's supernatural help. And that's why we pray, open thou mine eyes. If God does not open our eyes, we will not see the wonders of the Word of God. By nature, we are unable to see spiritual reality, the spiritual beauty of God, the spiritual desirability of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't see the beauty of the Word. When we read the Bible, without the supernatural help of God, it's kind of like the sun shining on the face of a blind man. What does he know? It gives a little bit of warmth. It's all he could know. But he can't see its wonder. He can't see what it's doing all around him. He can't see the beauty and the glory of it, so that it wins your heart. That's the same with the Bible. Unless He opens your eyes, you don't see it. And the reason for that is that we are fallen and corrupt, dead in sin. And so we are blind and ignorant and hard-hearted. Paul describes the natural man like this, Ephesians 4, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's you and me by nature. Our heart is blind. That's why we got constantly pray, open thou mine eyes. Otherwise I can't see anything of these wonderful things in the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 2 and 3, Moses says to Israel, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto his servants, and unto all his land, the great temptations which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. He says, you have seen these things, but you haven't seen them. That's like a person reading the Bible, just reading words on a page, but not really seeing it. You see the Word of God, but you really haven't seen it. You cannot see it without God's supernatural eye-opening work. That's our plight, dear friends. You're guilty, corrupt, hard, ignorant, blind, without the awakening and enlivening and softening and humbling and purifying work of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. We will never see spiritual beauty or spiritual reality without God's illumination. We will never see the wonder and the glory of what the Word of God teaches without God opening the eyes of our hearts and giving us the spiritual sense of the Scripture. So why are we stressing this today? At the beginning of this new season, it is to make us desperate for God, hungry for God, pleading with God, crying out to God the Holy Spirit for His help as we read and study our Bibles. You think about the Apostle Peter. He publicly confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him then, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." Peter's eyes were opened. He saw that Jesus is the Christ. And who was it that opened his eyes? "Father has made it known, has revealed it to you." On the way to Emmaus, you remember there's two men going to Emmaus after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead? It says in Luke 24, "Then Jesus opened their understanding." You could say He opened their hearts' eyes that they might understand the Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, Paul says, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned." For our natural condition is that we are dead in trespasses and sins and children of wrath. We are dead for the Word of God. We are blind to the Word of God. We are unresponsive to the Word of God. We are daily in great need. That's our third question. What is our daily need? We have it right here in our text. We pray. We pray to God for supernatural illumination when we read His Word. "Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law." Since we are helpless in ourselves to see spiritual reality and beauty, since we are helpless in ourselves to see the wonders of God and of Jesus in the teachings and the events of the Bible, without God's gracious illumination, we ask Him for it daily. And we say, "Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes." Not only in our natural state. David, who wrote Psalm 119, is a saved man. He knows his God. And he knows his God knows him. And he still says, "Open thou mine eyes." Even as the Lord is using him to write His Word. So if knowing and treasuring the truth of the Word of God is crucial to being holy and loving and mature and heaven-bound and having an eternal perspective, and if by nature we cannot see the wonders of the Word of God, and if by nature we don't even feel any attraction to its glory, then we are in desperate condition and we need to pray to this God daily for sight. "Open my eyes, Lord." so that I can see those wonderful things. Prayer is essential to Christian living. It's the chief part of thanksgiving, we confess in the catechism, but also because it is the key to unlocking the power of the Word of God in our lives. Remember, we are blind to the glory of God unless He Himself opens our eyes for it. And if we don't see His glory by the Word and the Holy Spirit, we will not be changed. And if we are not changed, we are not even Christians, according to the Word of God. I'll read this verse again. I read it once before. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, says Paul, and he's speaking to gospel believers, we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed into that same glory, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Believers are being changed by the Word of God. If you are not being changed, my dear friend, you should question very seriously, am I a believer? In His high priestly prayer, the Lord Jesus said, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And in Ephesians 1, verse 18, Paul prays for believers that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened, so that they may know what is the hope of Christ's calling and what the riches of the glory of His the inheritance in the saints. Paul says to those Ephesian people, I taught you these things and you received them with your external senses, with your ears. But unless you perceive the glory of them with your spiritual senses, the eyes of your understanding being opened, you will not be changed. And you will not be holy. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Colossians 1 verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, that is, your love in the Spirit, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul is praying there for Christian people. People who are already saved. That shows us our great need for us to go on praying until we get to heaven to have our eyes opened daily. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy Word. What are those wondrous things in the Word of God? You could sum it up reading one verse from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. That's those wondrous things to be seen, spiritual eyes, in the Word of God. All comes back. It all comes down. It all focuses in one person. Jesus Christ, whose name shall be called Wonderful. That's why we pray. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold Wonderful. That I may behold Jesus. That's what you need. That's what all of us need. Every day, in our Bible reading, in our Bible study, In our Bible memorization, let us pray that God will enable us to see our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And every Lord's Day as we come together under the preaching of the Word of God, let us pray, O God, open our eyes this day that we may behold wonderful things out of Thy Word. One more question to answer. How shall we now pray? Well, let's first sing 351. How specifically shall we now pray? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119 is really just one long prayer. And in that prayer, we have many examples of how the psalmist prays very specifically about his reading of the Word of God. If we take a little tour through Psalm 19, we'll see what kind of prayer we should soak our Bible reading with this year. But pray, open my eyes, Lord. Start there. Open my eyes. And in doing so, you acknowledge already that you are blind and you need Him. We pray that God would teach us His Word. 10 times in Psalm 19, He says, teach me. Teach me, Lord. Verse 12, for example, teach me thy statutes. Verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge. For true learning of the Word of God is possible only if God Himself becomes our teacher in and through all the other means of teaching, also by means of reading good books, by listening to sound podcasts and so on. Remember always when you do that to pray, open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart. And remember from the catechism that the Lord Jesus Christ is our chief prophet and teacher. So we pray, teach us. We pray that God would not hide His Word from us. Because that can happen as you are reading your Bible. That it's actually hidden. You can't figure it out and something is hidden there. Hide not thy commandments from me, He says in verse 19. The Bible warns us of a dreadful chastisement of the Word of God being taken away. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. God can do that. And He's done it. Many times. Would it make any difference to you if God took away His Word from you suddenly? Tomorrow morning you suddenly had no more Bible. It's gone. Would that make any difference? We pray that God would make us understand His Word. 2 times in Psalm 119, He says, make me understand, Lord, make me understand. Or 5 times, give me understanding. Give me understanding. No matter how long you've been reading and studying the Bible, you always come back to this. Give me understanding. But when we pray, give me understanding, that implies that we are actually studying the Word of God. That implies that we're actually taking the time and the effort to grow in knowledge. You don't pray for understanding with your Bible closed and never opened. I had a student when I was teaching grade 5. And he would say to me, I don't understand this, Mr. Niels. I say, well, open your book, first of all. And read it. And then try to figure it out. But you got to have your book open. Give me understanding. With your Bible open. Oh, Lord God, cause me to understand. Do whatever it takes, Lord, to make me understand this, what I need to know. We pray that God would give us spiritual life to keep His Word. 9 times in Psalm 119, David says, quicken me. Quicken means bring me to life. Because so often he was feeling rather dead and cold towards God and to His Word. And we realize that, don't we, that we need life and energy to give ourselves to the Word and to obedience. And it's really only those who are renewed by the Holy Spirit who really recognize this need, because we can be so cold and at times so careless and so far from our Lord. So we ask Him for this basic daily need. Restore life to me. And we pray that God would establish our steps in His Word. Order my steps in Thy Word. We're dependent on the Lord, not only for understanding the Bible and for giving us life, but also for living that life. For living the life of obedience to the Word. In sanctification, we also depend on the Holy Spirit to enable us to obey. We pray that the Word would be established in our lives. For that we need the blessed Holy Spirit. Because being a hearer of the Word, a true hearer, and a doer of the Word, both take the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We cannot do it on our own. And the Holy Spirit directs us to look to Christ. And we pray that God would seek us when we go astray from His Word. The last verse of Psalm 119, you would think after all that wisdom and all that instruction, He wouldn't say this. But He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek Thy servant. Doesn't it strike you that this godly man ends that psalm with that confession? Going astray like a lost sheep. And with a confession of his need for God, the good shepherd, to come after him and bring him back. And we need to pray this time and again to seek Thy servant. Yes, Lord God. We seek Thee in Thy holy word, but we need Thee to seek us. Seek us and find us. So that when we sing that hymn, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found of Thee. Seek Thy servant, Lord. So as we enter this new season of the year of our Lord 2016, and as we long as the Lord's people to be holy and loving and committed to God's purposes as individuals and in our families and in our church family and in our denomination and in our communities and in our nation, that we must be a people who treasure the Word of God in our hearts. But even more, we must be a people who know our desperate condition apart from God. People who know that God has appointed prayer as the way that our eyes will be opened to see the wonders of the Word and be changed. Open Thou mine eyes, Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And I would say to you, my dear friend, if you are not actively studying the Bible, if that's a foreign thing to you, then let this be the year that you join one of the many Bible studies that are available. Or start on your own. I can help you. It'd be very simple. I could just give you a subscription to Table Talk, and you just follow that as a beginning way to begin to study the Word of God. Or do it with one or two others. Or with several couples maybe, or a number of young people getting together. Or joining one of the many Bible studies that this church offers, the men's Bible study, the ladies' Bible study, the young adults' Bible study, the seniors' Bible study. It goes on and on. Or join a reading group, like the Calvin Institute's readers. By the way, speaking of that, 32 people got the book when we started that. And the number that are still doing it is less than 10. Where did they go? Join the Summer Readers Club. You get free books, good books, and good discussions. And it's all meant to expand your knowledge of the Bible and your understanding of the Word of God. Or maybe you begin a group this year that brings various age groups together. Maybe start listening to sermons together, maybe one time a month, and then discussing those sermons. Whatever it is, get into the Word of God. And when you do, make sure that there's always a time for prayer. Prayer that the Lord would open our eyes to see the most wonderful things in the Word of God, the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, His love for sinners like us, His precious blood, His life-giving Holy Spirit, His constant intercession. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see such wonderful things out of the Word of God. Wonderful things in the Old Testament, like all the prophecies of the coming Messiah, the Old Testament types and the symbols and the shadows all pointing to the Lord Jesus. The New Testament fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies in the Lord Jesus. The New Testament record of the life and suffering and death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus. The New Testament teaching of all the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ, which become ours when we believe the gospel. Think of it. It's amazing all the wonderful things that are in the Word of God, but unless He opens our eyes to see them, we're blind to them. So we pray, open thou my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things in the Word of God. When we read Psalm 119, you have a sense of how earnestly the psalmist pursued this. Verse 147, I rose before the dawning of the morning and I cried. It's another way of saying I prayed. And I hoped in thy word. That goes together. Praying and hoping in his word. The most important matters in our lives are right there. Prayer and your Bible. And as we go about our daily work this new season, let us be first and foremost people on our knees in the word of God. Somebody might ask, well, what comes first? Prayer or Bible reading? Doesn't matter. Do both. But usually your Bible reading, if you read it carefully and attentively, will give rise to focused prayer. I'll give you an example of that in the past week. My daily Bible readings, I was reading through Numbers and Deuteronomy. And I don't know if those are your two favorite books of the Bible, but I can't say they're mine. Long list of names and all these laws and all the little details of all the sacrifices. But in Numbers 32, verse 23, there's this little phrase, be sure your sin will find you out. That's the one phrase that came back in that I thought about and prayed about and meditated on. And it led me to think, my sins found me out in Christ. See? For believers, that's where your sins were found out. And then in Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 8, the Lord is explaining, or Moses is explaining to the people of Israel, why it is that God loved them. And he says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and 8, to summarize it like this, the Lord set His love upon you because the Lord loved you. Why does the Lord love His people? Because He loves them. You don't question that. That's what the Bible says. And that verse, that gave me food for thought throughout the day. And fuel for prayer. Prayer for forgiveness of all those sins and for thanksgiving. That the Lord didn't look at me and look for something to love, because there's nothing here to love. And it's the same with you. Same with all of His people. Go read it tonight. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and 8. The Lord set His love upon you because the Lord loved you. I close with the words of the Lord Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Let's pray. Open Thou our eyes, O Lord, that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. We acknowledge, O Lord, we are so blind. And yet we thank Thee for Thy precious Holy Spirit, who comes and opens our blind eyes. O Lord, Thou hast done it for so many in this congregation. Will You do it for all? Open all of our eyes, Lord, that we all may behold these wonderful things, that we all may see the wonders of grace displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Lord, Thy people long to be holy. We long, O Lord, to be more and more Christ-like. We pray that we would be diligent, using the means of grace that Thou hast instituted for this end, and that Thy Spirit would richly bless our study, our meditation of the Word of God. That in this coming season, no matter what our businesses may be, no matter how busy we are, how successful or not successful, that may be where we are found, where we can find each other day by day, praying and reading our Bibles. Bless us, Lord, with a rich measure of Thy Spirit. Take care of us now as we return to our homes. Bring us safely there. Grant us a good night's rest so we may awake refreshed in the morning and begin our work anew. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.